Well, I was so grateful to be able to make a fast phone call last week and have truly capable people take over all the services and carry everything out and know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I didn't even have to be concerned or worried. And to me, that's a sign our congregation is arriving at discipleship. When, you know, we just have leaders, but everyone is capable and willing to step in and do a thing. And it's really comforting. But I do appreciate all the prayers and expressions of concern. We were really sick. And grateful that it seems to have died with us, that particular thing. So, knowing that I would have a rabid Calvinist here today, I'm just kidding, Lee. It was directed at him. Very grateful to have Lee Mosley with us. Pastor serves, has been serving in Jonesville, two churches, and is sort of a free agent now. And grateful to have him with us in our worship today. So now I have to actually deliver a good sermon. But I want to talk to you today about being the chosen. So we can affirm for each other today what has happened for us has happened for us. It was not of our choosing even, rather someone choosing us. Okay? So let's take a minute to pray and then we'll get into Scripture. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it comes to us in ever fresh ways, but with an eternal and steadfast meaning, that you have gone to any length to redeem us. And we pray, God, that as we consider this word today, it will change us, and that our relationship to you will be adjusted, where we have not maybe appreciated or fully felt the effect of being the redeemed, we might now truly and fully and more with more appreciation express to you our great love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to take a text today from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And Paul is writing, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've had the rare privilege of being present with families in court. I'm not sure, I don't remember my purpose for presence, but I believe I was just witnessing. Powerful thing. I've been there when the child was formally and officially, legally adopted by a family. I was an outside witness to something intangible happening among people. Adults choosing a child and having the child's entire view of him or herself transformed by the choosing. One of the greatest marvels of God's creation for me has been that of adoption. And we see it among animals. We know that in the animal kingdom there are many who adopt and some who eat the children. But especially among human adults. Couples desiring a child, selecting a child to be their own. A spouse a new spouse, legally adopting the child or children of their new mate. This kind of chosenness and the knowledge of chosenness can be a source of great affirmation in a young person's life. To be picked out, especially if there had been previously a sense of abandonment, bewilderment, lostness. It's something I think that natural-born children either assume or never even give a second thought to, that they are the desired outcome of the estate of marriage between one man and one woman. Today's text affirms that God has chosen some to be His adopted children. And more than that, all His adopted children have the status of son. Contrary to popular cultural belief, all people are not children of God. The popular saying, we are all God's children, is not true according to Scripture. We are God's creations. We have been created by God. And as such, He attaches divine sacredness to each person. Every person has divine and sacred worth and value to God. But because of the fall, all humans are under the curse of sin and naturally opposed to God. Defining sin in the sense that anything that is contrary to God's will for us, or anything that is not pleasing to Him, that's the curse of sin. And because we're born into sin, humans are enemies of God. According to Scripture, you can't minimize sin. It's for a preacher, it's almost impossible to describe sin with enough gravity and with enough effect to cause people to understand. We almost have to undertake that understanding on our own. Ask God ourselves, God, show me what you think about sin. God despises sin. The impulse to take a pencil from work, you know, office theft, to do dastardly little things because we want to. God despises everything that sets a barrier between us and Him. There is no way to say it in a way that will cause you to feel it, except through the power of the Holy Spirit today, what sin has done to our relationship to a holy God. To say that God is love is an absolute truth. And thank God, a premium truth, right? But there is never a love that can be expressed by God that doesn't encompass His total holiness, His absolute otherness, and His total authority over what He has created. His sovereignty is not breached by sin. However, sin in my life breaches His sovereignty in my life. God despises sin. And we are eaten up with it. We are consumed with it. Even the minds of good church people today are darkened, not only with regard to sin, but with their relationship to the Creator. Humanity is under, as this scripture tells us, the law of sin and death. It was into that world that Jesus came, born to a woman under the law. Jesus, a human under the law. The law The law of sin and death. The law that could not be met. It humanly seemed impossible to carry out. Jesus was born under that law. In order that, verse 5 says, he might be our Redeemer. To redeem something is to pay a price. For Jesus to be our Redeemer, it means to pay an ultimate price. Jesus paid an ultimate price for your sin, and it was because of God's determination that it was necessary to redeem us, to purchase us at that supreme price. This is God electing us. This is God sending a Savior into the world that we might all be redeemed, all who accept His offer of free grace. Choosing us. Choosing those who would then choose Jesus to be His adopted children. We become the chosen children of God Almighty. It says He gives us the Spirit of His Son in our hearts. All who call on His name, who confess Him as Lord, He sends a Spirit, the Spirit of God into our hearts, and through that Spirit, it cries through us, Abba, Father, which Abba more accurately means Daddy. And this is the witness. God provides. Nothing we do. God provides the Spirit to come into us. It is the Spirit of God Himself who cries out, Father! And it's in that awakened state we now rise to become children of God. To be allowed to call out, Father, Abba, Daddy God. This is the assurance of our salvation. This witness within our hearts. And not just children, okay? Paul is using a specific metaphor here because he wants us to know we are all sons. Paul has stated several times in Scripture, there's now no male or female, Jew nor Greek. He uses sons here to declare that we all have first child status. We have the heir status as eldest sons. All of us together have sonship with God. We are no longer outcasts, and we are no longer slaves to sin. The power of sin has been broken. The lure of sin continues. The ability to sin and exercise free choice remains. God gave us the freedom to choose, but He elected divinely a choice in the beginning to redeem. That any who would call on Jesus Christ would be saved. And He would empower them with His Spirit to walk in that freedom as heirs of a promise. Chosen children of God. John Wesley printed a tract in 1758 and said this, "We believe that in the moment Adam fell, he had no freedom of will left. But that God, when of His own free grace, He gave the promise of a Savior to him and his posterity, graciously restored to mankind a liberty and power to accept the proffered salvation." This is the beginning of Wesley's understanding of prevenient grace, a peculiar term that means before we knew of anything of God, God was coming to us. We talk about that 90 and the 9. God coming for us before we knew we needed coming for. God making a way, providing a way. And then enlightening our hearts with the understanding that we could be saved. That we could reflect God, become His children. That is prevenient grace. God choosing us through Christ Jesus before we could choose Him. And through Christ, He allows us the freedom to choose or not to choose. We've been saying now for several years, 4 or 5 now, keep your eyes on Jesus. It was this idea that there was a bouncing ball in the beginning, you know, back even before COVID, and we were watching the crazy games of the church going back and forth and say, you know, don't watch the bouncing ball. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I say to you today, let's remember that He's the author and finisher of our faith in 2024. Let's remember that we need to keep choosing the one who first chose us. And let's deny together that we have to be slaves to sin. That the law and its power over us has been broken by Jesus Christ. We will no longer be judged under that law, and we are no longer slaves to the effect of that law. We not only have the freedom from the penalty assessed for our sin, we now have the freedom not to sin, to walk as children of light, to be actually holy people. Now, when I speak of holiness today, I'm not speaking of the length of your skirt or whether you swim in a swimming pool with a mixed sex. I'm talking about holiness that oozes from the life of a person who is consumed with love. The love of God. A love that begins in our heart when we believe and continues when we begin to get the gravity of what God has done to overcome my sin and your sin. The holiness of a love in a life that is so free. Freed from every bondage. Declared free and actually free. And what God ordained that we should be free. Nothing I ever did surprised Him. There's no act or decision I can make today in my free will that can surprise a sovereign God. And what He has ordained, while He has ordained individuals and certain people to do certain things in history, and while He has called out certain ones to walk in a certain path, He gives most of us, 99.99999% people, the ability to choose. And that is a great liberty and an awesome freedom from a God who loves us. Today, you may not fully understand your sonship. Especially if your images about fatherhood and being a child or a son are affected by your own personal experiences. But I can assure you today that if the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you are a child and that God is your Father, you have within you the capacity to accept your chosenness. That God loves you. God loved you enough to pick you out. To dream you up. To have hopes for a life filled with goodness and compassion. A hatred for sin. And a love for people. To bring the very kingdom of God to earth. Once we realize. You and I. Warts and all, we're the chosen. Let's be the chosen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.